Okay, I'm just going to jump on in. This is Bradley Charbonneau with the Nonfiction Author Marketing Podcast, and I am here with Hanneke Watkus-Porter, and I was just complimenting her on her beautifully colorful website with a really nice design. And we are going to talk today about setting up a podcast for you as the author, you as the entrepreneur, to help build your brand. And as it turns out, Hanneke does just that. And I had asked her because I said, well, why don't you just go to Anchor FM and figure it out? And she has her ideas. So if you want to introduce yourself and we can jump on into starting a podcast for entrepreneurs or authors to help them build their brand, I'd love to hear more about that, because that's my advice. I say, go to Anchor FM and figure it out. Bye. So hi, Hanneke. Right. Welcome.
Hi, Bradley. Thank you so much. And it is my pleasure to be here. And thank you to all your community members who are listening to me right now. So I'm grateful for the opportunity. Right. You talk about Anchor. And I guess what you've done just now is just to skip over all the other chapters in my book and headed directly to Anchor. Which is chapter 8, when I talk about it. The chapter is actually called, Will Your Anchor Hold?
Okay.
Right. And so ever since Anchor came on the scene a couple of years ago, there has just been so much noise about it. Some negative, some very positive.
Yeah.
And I pretty much started out, well, for the book, in every chapter of my book, I've started out with a quote. And I've actually quoted Michael Mignano, which is the CEO of Anchor. And he says, Anchor is built for creators. The mission that drives every decision we make is to democratize audio by giving everyone, regardless of experience level or financial means, easy and powerful tools to make a podcast and share their voice, right? So who would want to fight against that, right? That's all right. Good, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. Let's go. Sign up.
Sign up. But there are concerns. There are concerns. So
yeah.
I kind of liken it to your own website. So I have HanekeWatkus-Porter.com that you're just commending me on, Brad, and Facebook, right? Having a page, having your business listed on Facebook. So that's how I liken them to. Like, you know, the website is yours. Facebook, the content on it is quote unquote yours, however, can disappear if Facebook decides to have a mood swing tomorrow. So that's should be taken with a grain of salt. However, with that said, so I kind of started with the negativity right there. But when you look at what Anchor is doing, for example, I started out my paragraph outside of the quote by saying, it seems the podcast fairies are working hard on your behalf behind the scenes. It has never been easier to start podcasts like it is now. So Spotify has vested heavily in Anchor since they have come on board. Do you trust Spotify? I guess sure. Most persons would say yes.
Yeah.
Right. So with that, I think, you know, all the concerns that you would have had, because of course we all have concerns about startups, because we know the statistics that talk about, you know, the failure rate of startups within the first 2 to 3 years. So naturally persons will be concerned, because how then can you explain the fact that it is totally free to start your podcast on Anchor? How then can you explain that there's no hosting that you have to pay, as you do for other companies? Right. You know, you have to pay monthly, you know, some $12. Perhaps you have lower than that, right, depending on the package you choose. There are a myriad of options that you will have to pay for, and everything that the hosting site does, Anchor does as well. They've gone further. They will distribute your podcast to all the various platforms that you know, like persons like myself will tell you, oh, you must be on Apple, you must be in Google, you must be in Stitcher. Anchor does a great job of ensuring or distributing your podcast to all these other platforms. So though I myself started out as a major skeptic, and the truth is, I still encourage persons to go the traditional route. However, I have become a lot less, you know, uptight about using Anchor, because okay. I do see where it serves a need and it fills a gap for persons who are not technically inclined. One, persons who don't have the time to go figure stuff out. Anchor is that one platform that it teaches you from the beginning how to even brainstorm concepts and ideas to start, you know, to podcast about. And it takes you through the entire process. You can record. Yeah, you can share, you know, snippets. Like you can call somebody in to record with on the show, on your show. Persons can send a message, you know, a congratulatory message or whatever message they want to send. And you can also add that insert into your podcast. So there's a myriad of opportunities and you know, stress that Anchor has eliminated. So I'll give it, you know, I hit 85%, you know, to be honest, given what I've seen about it. So,
yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, 85 is pretty good, but I hear what you're saying. I think it sounds like it's a great place to start if you kind of want to just get your toes in the water.
Right. I believe so.
Okay. But then if you're serious, or you think you'll be more serious, or you know you're more serious, then, and I like what you said about how Facebook versus, you know, your domain.com. You know, you have your own personal website. Okay, that's really interesting. Hey, you said, I don't know if you're really referring to your book about jumping to chapter 8 and how to set things up with Anchor, but because I skipped over all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And what if we got a little bit, if we took a step back and talked about why, and again, I'm kind of focusing on authors, but it's more sort of entrepreneurial authors or entrepreneurs who want to have a book or think they should have a book or should have a book or might have a book or might someday might have a book. But so kind of with an author slant. Mm-hmm. So what are those first seven chapters? I mean, is one of them like why you should have a podcast and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So I pretty much take my readers through the basics, right? As we're geared towards, you know, authors and so on, why you need a book, in the first place. A book is able to create, like, it's almost like your traveling business card, you know, it gives you a platform. So as I spoke directly to podcasters and those who wanted to start a podcast, I talked about why it's important to have a podcast. I looked at the statistics that, you know, that more and more persons, particularly, I know all these stats are US based because that's where the surveys have been commissioned from. Uh-huh. But when you look at, you know, how podcasting is getting more notoriety year on year, like every year more and more persons are learning about podcasting. They're using it to do many things, you know, to position them to do many things. So it is important that you consider this medium. And even as we liken what we're talking about to authors, why would you want to start a book, to write a book? What is the thought process that goes into writing a book, and what can that do for you? Because many of the things that a podcast will do, a book will also do for you as well. You know, it, like I said, your business card, you can use it as a press pass to get access to things and events and people that you wouldn't normally have access to. But because you have a book, there is something about it that gives you credibility that if you haven't started your book, if you don't have one, then you are limiting yourself from receiving those opportunities that are out there, you know?
You know, I just saw a text from a Facebook post from a colleague, and she said she just did this in-person event and people came up to her and said, "Oh, it's so nice to finally meet you in person. I have seen your LinkedIn posts and your videos and your this and your that, and I'm so glad to meet you in person." And the woman said, "Huh, I don't recognize your name." And the few people said, "Oh, I've never commented or anything or liked it. I just see you." Mm. And for the woman, it was very interesting to think, wow, you know, we think we're reaching only the people who comment or share or, you know, directly contact us. But what I think is kind of fascinating is the fact that know, with a podcast, you have listens, and with a post you have, or a video, you have views, but you're never going to know who these people are, but they're out there.
They are. And I can give you two examples to that of recent times, or two points. So I recently attended PodFest, which is, you know, one of those podcast conferences, and I was one of the speakers. And right. So at the event, I actually had an interview for my podcast. I interviewed someone who is a social media marketing expert. And one of the things she poignantly pointed out was that we need to consider our objectives and what it is that we really want when we're posting, because a lot of us, perhaps we're not seeing the comments or the likes on our Instagram post or Facebook or Twitter, whatever it is. But what do we really want to measure? Because when we post about our podcast, is it that we really want likes or comments, or do we really want people to actually go and listen to the podcast? So perhaps that's what they are doing. Even so, maybe our egos are being hurt because we're not seeing people respond when we post, and like, oh, we're not getting enough engagement. But maybe what is really happening. So what we need to check are the metrics, as in this case of a podcast, to see, you know, are we getting, where are the viewers coming from, or the listeners coming from, you know, is it that they're moving directly from our social media pages and going into what we really want them to do, which is in this case, listen to a podcast. And I also can share about, you know, you never know. So people are not necessarily commenting, but they are seeing you.
Right.
So recently I went to a corporate organization, and I there was a pitch. I had a meeting. It was an impromptu meeting. And I pitched, you know, to help them with their podcast and so on. And whilst I was there sharing, because this is Jamaican, podcasting is not yet widespread. So whilst I was sharing how it is that they can subscribe to my podcast, I was taking their phones and, you know, bringing up the thing on their iPhones and stuff. And one of the persons in the meeting, as I was about to take her phone to go into and look up my podcast, she was already subscribed. And then she said, no, but I listen to you all the time. I listen to you all the time. So there it was, you know, just thinking that, you know, it's not happening. You sometimes you're not getting that engagement, but they're seeing you. And that's the important thing. And you're having an impact. So never underestimate the power of being an author, the power of having a podcast, the power of just putting yourself out there on whatever platform that you choose.
You know, I similar story, but even maybe more sort of surprising, is there's a podcaster I really like. Her name is Joanna Penn, and she's an author and, you know, multi-book fiction, nonfiction. She's had a podcast for 10 years, and which is a long time in the podcasting industry.
It is a long time.
I'm sure you know.
I'm 3 years there. 3 years.
Yeah. Close. Oh, wow. So she said, and I really liked this because I really like audio. So I like podcasting. I record my own audiobooks, and I know how to do all the technical stuff. And it's really tough. It's a whole lot harder than podcasting, that's for sure, with all the technical specifications. But anyway, she said at a conference that people will come up to her and they feel like they know her because she has a podcast. And so she'll talk a little bit about her personal life, really not much, mostly business and author stuff. But because it's her voice and it's in your ears, you get a deeper connection with the listeners than if they were just reading words on a page.
Absolutely. You know, audio is just so personal. Podcasting audio is just so personal. That is why we should, as podcasters, never take for granted that somebody opted in to listen, you know, to take time out. It's not like they're in a general space. They're actually having this thing in their ear for the most part. I mean, if you're listening on your computer, fine, but for the most part, people are streaming on apps on their phone and they have their earphones in, and you're directly speaking into somebody's ear, like you're whispering, like you're having a close relationship with somebody. You're whispering in their ear, right? That's how intimate and personal it is, right? And that is powerful.
Wow. Ooh, that gave me chills, whispering in their ear.
Yes, that's what you're doing.
You know, I think I like audio even more than video because, like you said, I'm just visualizing the whole thing right now because if we, I mean, you and I, we could have done video, right? And we're, there's the two screens and there's our photo, our videos up there, and hi, I can wave, and yeah, that's me, and yeah, that's you. But you're right. I hadn't thought about it like that so intimately, where you're whispering in their ears. Because I mean, I listen to podcasts and audiobooks all the time, and I'm usually in the woods with my dog, and we're out there, and I've got somebody in my ears. And you're right. It's like that person is telling me a personal, private story just for me.
Yeah, just for
you.
I
love that.
Right. and as creators, like, as creators, that's how we should approach it. Like, you know, part of the anxiety that comes with podcasting is that we, and I do it too, you know, we all constantly, many of us watch our download numbers, but I have to time and time and again remind myself, if I was in a room with, say, 100 people or 500 people or whatever people that are downloading my show, wouldn't I give them that same amount of love and respect and be happy that they're in the room physically present with me? So too it is that when I have an opportunity to touch even one person, if I only had one download, it is equally as important as if I had a million downloads. It's just valuing people one person at a time.
Wow. You know, I just heard a quote the other day. It said something like, how you do anything
is how you do everything.
You've heard it. And it really hit me, because I'm like, oh, wow, I'm guilty of that. Oh, this one's not so important. Ah, I'll just blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
But you're right. Wow.
Perspective it is, yeah?
Yeah. Wow. What else can you... What can you tell me? I have a podcast. I'm not a pro by any means. I've kind of just been. I'm actually very similar to what you're talking about. Just an author who. Well, I really do like audio, but I as an author. So here's an example. You can let me know what you think. I have one of my fiction books. It's sort of a children's book. And I put it up as a podcast. You know, it's 12 chapters or something. And so I made it 12 weeks, 12 episodes, 12 chapters. I'm done. Yay, that's fun. And just for, I don't know, who knows. But have you ever, what's your experience for authors in putting up content? Like if they have an audiobook to put up a chapter or something. Do you have any ideas?
You know, one of the things that, Bradley, that persons would allow to deter them to start a podcast is that they don't have enough content, or, you know, they don't have enough to talk about. What can they share? Who's going to listen to them? All of that crap, really.
Right.
But the thing is, if you're an author, like you did, you already have content. You've already spoken about things. Those chapters can be turned into podcast episodes, you know, and vice versa. If you have audio, you can actually script it into a book, right? Transcribe it into a book. Because let me tell you how Podcasts Power, the Quick Start Guide to Launching and Leveling Up Your Brand, was born. I decided I needed to do this podcasting book, I think sometime last year.
Yeah.
And I just knew I needed to do the book. I wasn't sure what it was going to be about. I didn't quite fine tune it yet. Closer to that, as the year advances, I thought to myself that it would be important to do a podcast, a book on how to start and all of that thing. Right. So when I started thinking more about it, I decided I'm going to start writing the book in National Novel Writers Month, which is November. And they encourage you to write a chapter per day and write how many words per day, not a chapter, how many words per day for the 30 days. And by the end of the 30 days, your book would be done.
Right.
So when November 1 comes, all I could find myself doing was to write the blurb about the book, because that would now encourage the direction of the book, right? So I wanted to say, this book is XYZ and this is what it will do for you, and so on. So it will inspire me to write and keep on track about what it is I'm writing about and who will be reading the book and so on. So when I started I just did that on, I think, day one or day two of November. After that, for next maybe 2 weeks or so, like, I had no motivation to do anything. I was just like, I was just procrastinating. And way into the middle of November, like, you know what? I have to start if I'm going to finish by November, the end of November.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to have to double up my word count, you know, whatever right. word count I had at the beginning, I had to double up that by the end of the month. So once I decided I was going to do that, I thought, where do I have content? So now I have an audio podcast course that I run. I had done a talk at International Podcast Day, and that's on YouTube. And I also had some blog posts. So I put together all of those content. I transcribed all the audio, pulled my blog post that I started writing, getting also the podcast course. I had it in Word as well. And I just copied and pasted and everything. And by the end of November, 70% of my content was already done. Right?
Wow.
It was simple as that. 70% of my content was already done. What inspired me, like, so now I'm there and it's not organized. It's not necessarily in any particular flow. But what encouraged me to finish and motivated me to finish that book was I was to speak at ATD Technology Conference in San Jose, California.
Yeah.
And the organizers reached out to me to say, would you like to put your book in the bookstore at the conference? I'm like, yes, sure. But at the time, none of the books that I had published in my mind would have been ideal for that audience. And so I decided, you know what? This is my motivation to finish Podcast Power, because that's what I'm talking about. And here's this opportunity to put it in the bookstore. Of course, I'm not going to let that opportunity pass me. So I had to work overtime to get the book published so that it was available by, the event was in February, on February 4th, 5 to 7. So by the end of January, it was ready, published and everything. I had gotten my, a team to start the cover, to work on the cover for me, got social media involved in choosing, because I got a lot of all good looking, great looking covers and I couldn't choose. So I got social media on and they helped me to select the cover that I have, which in my mind, looking at it, is the most outstanding, although they were all outstanding. And had somebody formatted the book and voila, I met the deadline. So that has been my process for that one.
Wow. Yeah. Deadlines. I don't know.
Deadlines. Yeah.
That's a key.
I'm worth adrenaline rush.
Yes. I am just a waste of space without a deadline. I can't get anything done.
Well, you know, they say that, what did they say? They say that, like, task projects will expand to the time allotted
yes.
to them.
Yes.
So have you ever noticed that if you have something with a 2-month deadline, that same project can be done in 2 hours? But
right.
Because that 2 hours that you have, all you're doing is procrastinating. Like, you know, you keep telling yourself, I have time. When you recognize right. that you really don't have time, you get it done in 2 hours. So you really need a 2-month. And, you know, if you're working with an employer, with a manager who would say to you, I need this done in 2 hours or even a day or 2 days, you would be yeah. so upset. But at the same time, you get 2 hours, 2 months, and you're still going to take 2 days or 2 hours or whatever it is to get it done. Because, you know, it's like we work so much better under pressure sometimes, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Do you like weekly? What is your recommended frequency for a podcast? Is weekly the standard?
It is. So it is a standard, but and it depends on your genre, because, you know, there are some people who can do bi-weekly or even monthly. I mean, I know that they're not as many. Right. Predominantly it's weekly. I have some persons do once per day. That's I think that's an overkill.
Yeah.
So, and 3 times per week or so. But ideally, I normally recommend once weekly. You want a level of consistency, and the week is a good slot to go by. But at the end of the day, you have to work with what your audience needs and with also the time that you have available, because you don't want to start something and you suffer what we call pod fade within the first month, right? You want to be able to honor your commitment to your community, to your audience, because you have people tuning in. And we talked about earlier the intimacy of person, your voice, and the fact that they've tuned in and so on. You want to give credit and honor to that, you know, to that commitment that they have to tune into you. Never ever take them for granted. So it's important that you have a schedule, develop a schedule that you are able to stick by and work with that.
You know, speaking of content, what other ideas for content? Because it's funny, I don't have trouble with this. I'm a content machine. I just crank it out. And like you said, I have an idea and it can turn into three ideas and I can make a podcast episode and a blog post and a chapter of a book. But I'm sure there are many who say, I don't know what to write about, or I don't know what my podcast is going to be about. I mean, we mentioned, you know, example chapters, but what else might like a nonfiction author who is a coach or a
contractor? Content is a dime a dozen, right?
Yeah.
And it is. So one of the best places that you can go to get content outside of what you already have and personally created is conferences. There's just so much wealth of knowledge and information in a conference. So look for the genre, the industry that, you know, that's your niche, and attend those conferences. As a matter of fact, one of the things I propose as, leveraging your podcast for your brand is to use your podcast as a press pass. What I mean, I have gone to events, you know, major events that I would have had to pay decent money to attend. And all I do is just pitch these conference hosts and, you know, position myself as part of the media, because I am, and I'm covering this topic, and I'd love to do a blog post, for example, on your content, on your topic, and in return you allow me access to come to the event.
Wow. Which is
fair game. You get to go to the event and you also promote them and promote their content. Not only can you get content that way in terms of covering the day's procedure, whatever it is, but you can also look at speaking with the interviewing the speakers that are there, interviewing the attendees to get perspective and feedback. You know what I mean?
This is good. Like,
opportunities abound.
Wow. Okay. That was a really good one. I love that one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we give away your entire book, I want to, I like keeping these under half an hour, and I think we're just about getting there. And okay. So I would like to finish off, because that is such a good one. Thank you so much for that.
And absolutely.
Your book is Podcast Power, The Quick Start Guide to Launching and Leveling Up Your Brand. And it just sounds like there's so much in there. I mean, just a few things we've talked about today. And that last one, that was a killer. I love that one.
Yeah, press. Right. You know, can I tell you quickly that I remember using my phone as a press, not my phone, rather my podcast as a press pass to get to an event. Met somebody, and eventually, who would have thought that this person that I met would actually help me to get back my phone that was stolen? Shortly after meeting this person at the conference, you know, so. In addition to having a press pass and doing all of that, a podcast can actually help you to get back your phone, is what I like to say.
Wow. Oh, great. Oh, there's been so much good stuff in here, and I'm sure there's even more good stuff in your book, in your course, and you have a podcast yourself. Mm-hmm. What is your podcast called?
The Entrepreneurial You.
Entrepreneurial You. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much. This has been enlightening and a delight. And I thank you for your time.
and it's been a pleasure. And if you want to reach me directly on my website, then you can go to hennikawatkisporter.com and send me a message on the WhatsApp that comes directly to my phone. There's a WhatsApp icon on my website that will send me a message. Yes.
Okay, great. And check out her web. Her website is beautiful. It's just gorgeous colors. It's beautifully laid out. Loads of photos. It's really nicely done. Congratulations. Really good.
Thank you. I'll pass it on to Matthew Woodward. He's my developer, so I'll pass it on to him.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you so much for talking, Hennika. And I will put links to your work below in the notes. And I look forward to talking with you again.
Absolutely. I really appreciate this time. And thank you for you and your audience that's tuning in.
My pleasure.